I want you to open your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians. It's really about my favourite topic, about false teachers and apostasy, warning people. That's what God's called me to do, all right? So if I talk about it all the time, that's why. God's put that on my heart, all right? And I was saying to Colleen today, maybe the people don't think I know anything else out of the Bible, but I do. I know a lot of stuff in the Bible. But God is warning us in this age, in this time, all right? This particular time, we need to be very, very careful, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. Wonderful piece of scripture. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 11, 1 to 4. Paul writing, he said, "Would to God ye would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you, promised you in marriage, to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." All right, let's pray and offer this. Ask the Lord to help me to preach it and for you to receive it. Very important piece of scripture, all right? Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to read your word tonight. And Lord, to study it and understand what it is that you're saying here, Lord. It's for our protection, for to make us safe, Lord, in this evil, evil time, this time of great darkness that's descending, as we've spoken already tonight. Great darkness descending upon the whole world, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you keep us safe. Help us, Lord, to walk in your light and listen to you, Lord, as you speak to us and not me. And help us to understand what's being said tonight. Bless the people for coming out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we live in a time of great confusion. Forget about the confusion that's out there in the world. I'm not talking about that confusion. That confusion that is helped along by false information that is dispersed far and wide throughout the entire world in seconds via digital media. Information that is indiscriminately accepted by the masses, particularly young people, who seem to think it's cool to get their so-called facts from egotistical celebrities, right? That's what celebrities are. They're full of their own ego. They present themselves as experts on everything and anything, and the young people just listen to them. My attention in this short message tonight, however, is not so much on the confusion that reigns out there in the world, but rather the confusion that is in the professing churches. And a lot of the confusion is the product of biblically illiterate Christians listening to and believing unscriptural things that are told them by false teachers. In 1 Corinthians 14:33 we read, "God is not the author of confusion." The Bible tells us that it's the devil who is the author of confusion and the father of lies. Some false teachers within the churches are naively accepted by trusting and undiscerning church members as true brothers and sisters in Christ, simply because they tell them they're Christians. The unwary tolerate them in their midst as genuine Christians who are perhaps just a little bit off-key with their message. Not much wrong with them, just a little bit off-key, all right? But anyone who promotes another Jesus, like we've read in our scripture tonight, anyone who promotes another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel is not a Christian brother or sister. Anyone who has another gospel or another Jesus or another spirit is not a brother or sister in Christ. They are not servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, but dangerous servants of Satan, who either knowingly or unknowingly serve the serpent, the one who beguiled Eve through his subtlety and caused the fall that plunged the whole of creation into chaos. Consequently, we live in a day of great confusion in the churches. Not only do we have multitudes preaching another Jesus, another spirit and another gospel, but we also have vast numbers who appeal to intellectualism, higher education and scholarship as their justification for disbelieving and publicly discrediting the simple truths of the Bible. These compromising professed believers in Christ, who through their own wisdom imagine that they have discovered some new and deeper thing concerning God, belittle those of us who are quite happy to simply read what the Bible says and just believe it. Amen? The Word of God says it. That's it. I believe it. That's it. Simple. They've got intellectual scholarship, you see, and they've got to read into things rather than read out. There's two things, exegesis and eisegesis. Exegesis is reading out of the Scriptures. Eisegesis is reading your stuff into the Scriptures. In verse 2 of our Scripture tonight, Paul speaks of the holiness that God expects of the church, the bride of Christ. God says of the church in verse 2, I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. If we are to walk in such purity before God, as the bride of Christ, as this verse says we should, then we must also reject whatever teaching comes along that is different from what we have already received from the Scriptures. 2 Corinthians 11:4 warns us of teachings that were different from what the Apostle Paul had already presented. And it also reveals that there were people in the churches who were prepared to gladly accept the new doctrines that the false teachers were presenting. Paul accused these naive and trusting Christians. He said, you just willingly go along with them. You just bear with them. In Proverbs 22, verse 3, and Proverbs 27, 12, King Solomon claimed that a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. It must be an important truth if God saw fit to have that teaching repeated, don't you think? Twice. That exact quote is made in two different proverbs. All right? A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Not taking notice of what's going on and walk into a big trap. Also in Proverbs 14:15, King Solomon instructed his son, he instructing that the simple believeth every word, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Christians who just blindly accept everything and everyone at face value are called simple by the Lord. God said they're simple. Simple Christians. They are undiscerning and trusting souls who are willing to just love everyone and anyone who comes along and believe that they are genuine Christians because they claim that they read their Bible and that they love Jesus with all their heart and that they go to church every Sunday. God doesn't want us to just accept everything at face value. He wants us to be prudent about our spiritual safety. To be prudent means to be cautious about things. We are to be watchful and alert, careful, discreet and sensible in our assessment of people and their teachings. Romans 6:17 and 18 tells us, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offences contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, or their own appetites, fleshly appetites, or their own desires, right? And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. They deceive the simple Christians. Deceive the hearts of the simple. They don't deceive the prudent Christians. They deceive the simple Christians. Scripture says, all right, if you're prudent, you won't get caught. The Pentecostals and Charismatics, the liberal new evangelicals and many cults all speak of Jesus, but the Jesus they proclaim does not resemble the Jesus of Scripture. And the spirit they promote is clearly not the spirit of the Bible. Why? Because he's called the Holy Spirit of truth, in whom there is no lie. And yet the spirit that all these groups worship, and who they say is present in their meetings, can easily be proven to be leading their services into doctrines and practices that clearly contradict God's word in many instances. We know it's not the Holy Spirit of truth that leads people into error and to do things that are ungodly. This is the whole thing we had out in the Pentecostal church when we got kicked out. This is not scriptural. How can you call that the Holy Spirit doing that? It's another spirit, and they're still all caught up in it, all right? In 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul admonishes the Corinthian believers, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguile thee through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The concern of Paul and the reason for his admonition was to warn of the subtle way in which Satan seeks to corrupt their minds from the simplicity that is in Christ. Paul feared that some of the Corinthian believers might be carried away or would bear with the error of the false teachers. Now, I don't want to get off my message here, But I think it's important to point out that many well-intentioned pastors and Bible teachers interpret the term, the simplicity that is in Christ, they interpret that to mean that believing the truth about Jesus and the gospel is a simple thing, in the sense that it's not complicated. Now, you probably believe that because I've heard it preached from our pulpit here even, that the simplicity in Christ means it's simple to believe the gospel and to believe in Jesus. There might be some truth in that belief, but it's not what the term simplicity is referring to here. Listen carefully. We need to read the verse in context with the surrounding verses. When we do, we soon discover that simplicity is not referring to salvation or giving our lives to Jesus, but it is specifically referring to false teachers corrupting our minds with damnable heresies. It's about corruption of false teachers. We've got to read Scripture in context. And because I've got an eye and an ear for these things, I've picked that up, you see. That's not talking about a simple thing to believe in Jesus. It's talking about something else. They're corrupting the simplicity that's in Christ. The false teachers are doing it. What are they doing? In 2 Peter 2:1, we find a good reference to the meaning of heresy and how this word simplicity should be applied in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 11. Here we read Peter's warning. There were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily or secretly shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring swift destruction upon themselves. The biblical definition of heresy means to deceptively, listen carefully please, the biblical definition of heresy means to deceptively lay error alongside truth. That's the definition of heresy. The biblical definition of heresy means to deceptively, sneakily, lay error alongside of truth so that it all appears to be truth. The word privily that we've just read in 2 Peter 2:1 is translated from a Greek word that means just that, to lay error alongside truth, or to introduce error secretly or by stealth, to camouflage it by being sneaky. The simplicity that is in Christ is referring to the doctrines about Christ having nothing snuck in or added to them. That's what the simplicity of Christ is, all right? You all know illustration. You all know what a damper is? Your Aussie damper. The original damper had three ingredients. Three. Flour, salt, water. In fact, probably the original one didn't even have salt, flour and water. But to cook a damper, you mix the ingredients, flatten out the resulting dough to about 25 mil or 30 mil, and then you lay it on top of the hot coals of the fire, the campfire, right? That dampens the fire, you see. That's why they call it a damper. You put it on and it dampens the fire. All right? If you've got an old wood stove, you know there's a damper in there, eh? They used wouldn't know. The young people wouldn't know. Cool. The old wood stoves had a thing, a lever on it, that you could push or open the flume, you see, and make it flare up or shut down. So they call that a damper. All right? Today, talking about dampers, today there are many recipes that are promoted as being genuine dampers. But they have all kinds of extra ingredients added that makes them not a damper, but something different. Okay? Although they are called dampers, they are different from the original and should be called something else. They shouldn't be called a damper. All right? What do you reckon, Jeff? If somebody came in here and said, I get suspicious when somebody, I'm going to bring a damper to the luncheon, you know, I think, hang on, hope they're not bringing the original one. I've eaten some of them and it's like eating rock. And it's awful. If you're hungry, you've got to eat it. But I like a damper. I like the modern, what they call a damper. But it's not a damper. It's not a damper. I don't mind if people bring that sort of damper to the meeting, but not the original one, please. Anyhow, the original one is different from what they're doing today because they've added more ingredients, all right? Things that are different are not the same, someone said here recently. Things that are different are not the same. They're different. In the same manner that false teachers have corrupt the simplicity that is in Christ, the simplicity of the damper has also been corrupted into something more complex. You get what I'm saying? And this is what that simplicity in Christ is talking about. They've added stuff in there. That's not the simple message that originally was given about the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. They've added stuff. And Paul's saying, Satan seeks to corrupt your minds from that simplicity. He wants you to believe the new version, you see. And this is what is being referred to when Paul talks about the danger of our minds being corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The simplicity of the message about Christ is corrupted by error that is introduced by stealth, by subtlety, and laid alongside of the truth in the hope that no one will notice it. And a lot of people don't. If first century Bible believers needed the warning about servants of Satan introducing false doctrines about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit, and about the gospel, perhaps it's doubly important for us in our day of rampant deception and apostasy. Unfortunately, though, as faithful followers of Christ, we often feel that we cannot challenge modern scholarship's corrupt version of him because we don't have the academic credentials that are supposedly necessary to effectively refute the unbiblical teachings of the scholars. Now, we've been talking a bit about that in here over the last couple of months, with talking about Proverbs and about the unbelievers don't understand the Word of God. But God took the foolish things of the world to understand this and confound those big scholars. So, we don't have to feel afraid when we're talking about spiritual things and biblical things just because somebody said, I went to this college or that college and I'm an academic and you're not, so sit down and be quiet. True Bible believers must not be intimidated by modern textual scholarship that seeks to beguile and corrupt the sincere Christian's mind away from the simplicity that is in Christ. We are reminded in Psalm, on closing, we are reminded in Psalm 119 and 104 that it's not through man's wisdom that we get understanding in these matters, but through accepting what God has to say. Verse 104 reads, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Amen? So that's what the simplicity of Jesus is about, all right? Don't forget it, eh? All right, let's pray and close the meeting, eh? Thank you, Lord, for this time that we've been able to spend together, Lord, and share together.